Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody out there in radio land? Yes, thank God for today. It's a blessed day. It's a good day to be alive. Exciting things are happening. And God's hand is on you, whether you recognize it or not. His hand's always on you. Even when we're not doing our very best, His hands are still on us. He's that kind of God. He's not going to just, well, you know, Bessie's not doing good today, and I'm not pleased with her today, so I'm going to take my hands off of her. He's not that kind of God. He has that unconditional love. I love Bessie because I created her, and I know she has good in her. So since she has good in her, good's going to come out of her. So don't think for a moment that God's hands will be removed from you. That's a scary thought. You know, it's like David. For some reason, David just kind of always stuck with me. You know, we get our attachments to different people in the Bible, different Bible verses, and it kind of sticks to you. And David is one of those people for me because he was quick to ask for forgiveness. But, you know, David was also very close to God, and he knew when he messed up, the first thing he says, Lord, no matter what you do, I don't care what you do, Lord, with me, don't take your Holy Spirit away. Because he knew once the Holy Spirit left him, that he wouldn't be able to talk to God. There was no more communication. And can you imagine if you got this wonderful relationship with God and you are communing with him every day, and then all of a sudden there's a stillness in your life. You can't talk to God. I can't even imagine that. That's what happened in many cases back in the day when God just not talked to Abraham for, what, it's 11, almost 12 years? No. You went out and had this baby, and I told you to wait. So now you're going to have to stew on that for a moment. And can you imagine when he heard the voice of God again, Abraham, after all those years, probably scared him. What? So, because of Jesus, we don't have to worry about that. You know, we all the way. So all we got to do is just go through Jesus and repent and ask for forgiveness. And you know what? Your pipeline is always there. It's always there. It's never going to be removed from you. So what a wonderful thing to know that God's hands are always on us. And if you know that, then it'll kind of make you, if you really, really get it, you will think sometime before you do things or before you say things, because you recognize, you know, I'm not moving around this earth by myself. God is with me. He hears me. He sees me. He knows everything that I'm doing and even what I'm thinking when I'm trying to do this little crazy, accept these crazy thoughts that want to penetrate my mind. I'm accepting one or two of them. They can try to penetrate your mind. It's just when you accept it, it's when it becomes real and life is given to it. But if you don't accept it, a crazy thought, it'll just have to pass you by. But if you just stop it, well, you know, maybe I will do that. Nobody won't know. Oh, yes. His hands are on you. There's a movie that we watch called The Same Kind of Difference as Me. And I tell you, it's if you can find it, it's on Netflix, The Same Kind of Difference as Me. It's very spiritually connected. It shows us that we are all, just like the gentleman said, we are all homeless. And I'm not going to tell you the movie because I want you to go see it. But you'll catch the phrase. You never know whose eyes God is watching you through. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, 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 good.
Can you hear me okay this morning? I'm trying some new technology here, so I just want to make sure that the audience, you hear me well.
I hear you very well. Would you give us the prayer this morning, please?
Absolutely. We're awesomely glad to do that in the name of our Lord and Savior. Dear Father, we come thanking you, God, for you are worthy to be praised. Every day that you allow us is a gift from you. And so for that, God, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross so that we may have this relationship with our Heavenly Father and you and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your mercies and your grace every day, Father God, that you allow us. And if we get in the habit of knowing that your hands are on us, we will reverence you the way that you desire us to. And we will not succumb to the thoughts of the enemy. We know that if you are all good, you cannot allow, you are not the one who gives devilish thoughts, if you will. So, Father God, we thank you, God, that you have given us a spirit of discernment to know right from wrong. And so, Father God, we thank you that we are able to overcome the enemy because you said resist the enemy and he will flee. So when we resist those thoughts, we know that we won't succumb to them. But, Father God, we thank you for every day that you allow us. We thank you for this radio show. We pray that something will be said to our audience, that they will have something and say, that makes sense. Or how about this? I understand, because you said in all our getting, get understanding. And so, Father God, I pray that we will be clear enough that someone will walk away with an different understanding as it relates to your word. For it is you that guide us, the Holy Spirit, when we are in tune and in touch with you, Father God. And so, Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit as well, for you left him with us when Jesus returned unto you. And we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you, God, and we pray again that something will be said that will change somebody's thought life forever. And with that, God, I say amen, amen, in the name of our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me open up. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
praise
girl.
Praise the Lord.
And everything that happened, real. Praise the Lord.
Come on now. Mm.
That's a powerful statement, isn't it?
Yes,
you think
ma'am.
You think an ant that's walking around, and some people just step on them. But God said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I was speaking to a gentleman yesterday, and we were kind of brainstorming on some ideas and things, and somehow or another came up about life, and he was saying, I got to the point now I can't. And he saw a spider, he said. And when I saw the spider in the house, he said, and I said, oh, wow, that spider. He said, I went looking all over the place trying to find a cuff or something so I could put him in and put him back on the outside of the house. And he said, because right now, he said, I realize that, you know, that spider is a living, breathing creation of God. And I was like, wow, yeah, that's deep. Because most people would have been like trying to get something to smash him, you know? And when you said that a while ago, that's what came to my mind. You know, that was what his name, the crouch. That was the main thing, that everything has breath. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. We don't have a right to take the breath of anything that God created. That puts a whole different perspective on little things that you see and think you can kill it. But anyway, how was your week? And we're going to get into the message this morning. Do you have a good week, Deborah?
My week was good. Praise the Lord. All is well. School started back this week coming, so I got a couple of things I'm doing this weekend and then wind it on down and bring it on home. I've been out 6 months, and I tell you, much needed break, but I'm ready.
Got to finish what you started.
Started Bible study this week. Oh, it was well.
Very good. With your mom?
Yes, with mom. We started. We do it on Wednesday night.
Okay. All right.
In the book of John.
Okay. Very good. Now, there ain't no better medicine for building a mother and daughter relationship than to study together the Word of God. If that don't do it, y'all might as well go on home.
Go on home.
And that should do it. Cynthia, how was your week?
My week was productive. My week was very productive. That, you know, I moved up to D-Land, and so all is well. I'm getting there one box at a time.
That's how you do it. Just imagine if you try to open 10 boxes at one time. How confusing would that be?
You get so overwhelmed. I was so overwhelmed just looking at them. And now I saw a space like that I didn't see before. So it's all good. I had a great week. A great week. I'm excited now about being ready to move forward.
There you go. New life, new beginning. New beginning. All right, ladies, I'll be back with you in just a little bit.
Okay.
All right, audience. You know, just to catch you up, sometimes, you know, we get going, and I like to just let you know that we don't come on the radio as radio idols or stars or individuals you can't touch, whatever you may think. We come on the radio because God assigned us on this radio as a medium to use our voices to speak to mothers and daughters around the world. And sometimes when you think, well, do anybody know anything about you? How many listeners do you have? See, it's not about that. Yeah, somebody know all about us, know more about us than we know about ourselves. And that's our Creator. And whoever's supposed to hear these messages, they will hear them. The Holy Spirit will assign them out. People will find this radio program one way or the other. How many times have you gotten a message when you're just flipping through YouTube? And all of a sudden your spirit said, listen to this, and you get an answer. All we are doing is producing the product that God can use at his discretion. We don't own the rights to the products. We don't have any power and control over where it goes. We just do what we are asked to do, release it to the Holy Spirit, and he will disseminate the message to whomever and wherever he deems it needs to go. So that's why when we get on here, we could you could hear the relaxation in our voice, in our spirit. Nobody's bucking, trying to be the superstar. Ain't no such thing as that anyway. There's no egos here. It's like just going to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say and just say what he tells us to say. I was waiting for the title today, and I got it about 7 minutes before it was time to come on. So I'm moving around trying to make it happen, but I didn't panic because I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you always does it. So, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and get my coffee, and I'm just going to do this and do that. Excuse me. And you want to pop up with something, you know it's close. And then all of a sudden, he gave me a title. And I can't afford to panic or anything because, you know, it's all about faith. You know, just to see if you're gonna trust me. Yeah, I've seen it gotten all the way down to 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm like, I got everything else ready. So you have to be ready. I had everything set up and all the things on the outside of it, but I didn't have the title to go in the middle to seal it. So I, you know, but everything else is ready. Be ye ready. Because when he comes, you can't prepare then. It's like the 10 women with the oil and the lamp. You know, 5 of them had their stuff together and had some extra oil, and one came, 5 came and they had the lamps and nothing. Not, no oil at all. I'm thinking, where were they going? What were they thinking? Or the oil that they had ran out. I think that was more or less, you know, back in the day, there was no store you could run right up to the store and get some more oil. And even to this day, you can't even just go anywhere and get just oil anymore. So they took a dangerous chance. The other one said, you know what, we're going to be ready. We're going to take some extra. We're going to take some extra. And so I noticed this morning when I was sitting here and I go, wow, my spirit said, just go ahead and prepare everything else. Set up everything you need to set up on the switchboard. And then when you get the title, you just drop that into the description. And then you can just drop that in and then click, you know, a couple more clicks and you're done. But had I waited on the title and not prepared the other things, I wouldn't have been ready for the show at 10. And in fact, it happened in such a way that I had a minute and almost 30 seconds to get up and do something else and then come back. So that in itself was just good for me. Thought I'd share it with you, is that we got to be ready. We can't just sit back and expect for things to happen. You got to prepare and get yourself ready for a blessing. A blessing come and you're not prepared mentally, spiritually, and physically, then the blessing can overtake you. And the blessing can cause you more danger than it is good. God bless you financially, and you don't know how to manage money. You don't know how to treat people. Then all of a sudden you get this financial blessing. Your ego is going to jump in. You're going to think you all of that in a bag of chips. And then you're going to start talking down to people and looking down at them like, you know, hey, I have arrived. No. You're not ready for the blessing. And sometimes God won't give us the blessing because he knows we're not ready. If he gave you what he has prepared for you, are you prepared spiritually with the Holy Spirit? Because that's the only person who can lead and guide you through any of these things here that you're facing on earth. Would you be ready for that? Think about it. So you might want to ask God, what area do I need to tweak? Where do I need to tweak something so I can get ready for the blessing? Because God don't want to lose a soul. He'd rather not give it to you than to cause you to lose your soul. And like I said, money, sex, and drugs are the three weapons of Satan. And he's going to try to get you with one of those three. And they all interact. You got them, I'm not going to go through it. They all, you know how they work. So again, good morning. I have good news for you. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And it's just a wonderful experience just to say that, mothers and daughters around the world. We're based out of Ezekiel 16:44, where God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. You know, so also joining me this morning is my co-host Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Taylor. We just wanted to share some love with you this morning, just a love thought, just to let you know God cares about you. And we're so honored that God woke us up this morning and given us an opportunity so that he could work through us to speak to you. Our stimulating topic today is our daughters cry for help. Our daughters cry for help. A lot of times we don't hear or see our daughters cry for help. And mothers, when your daughter is speaking to you, you should be able to hear in her voice the cry. You should be able to hear the cry. And I know that for a fact. If my daughter calls me, I can tell by the tone when there's a cry in her spirit. Mama, I said, what's wrong? Nothing. No, there is something. What's wrong? They take me two or three times to answer that question. Each time I get a little strong. What's wrong? I hear it now. What's wrong? Because you know what? She wants me to ask her what's wrong. She called me because she knew I could discern in her voice, something was wrong. But yet it also allowed her to hold on to her dignity of saying, you know, I'm reaching out. You know, because everybody has a certain amount of dignity that you kind of you don't want to expose yourself. But hey, to your mother? So I keep going, what's wrong? And she said, well, and then here comes the story. And then we're going to pray on it, and we're going to see what God says about it. And if there's anything we can do, advice or I have or whatever God tell me, I tell her. But I can guarantee you before that conversation is up, she's smiling and laughing because we're going to work through whatever it is. Our daughters cry for help. And that's why so many young people would say to me, I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and when young people come to my office and I'll meet with the mother and the daughter, and then I'll separate them and have a separate meeting, because sometimes in that first initial meeting, you're not going to get what the daughter's saying or what the mother's saying. They're kind of holding back on some of it. So you separate them. And a lot of times the young lady will say, she just doesn't understand me. She don't really know me. Well, how do you mean she doesn't know you? She doesn't know me. She doesn't spend time with me. She doesn't talk to me. And when I go to her, trying to talk to her, she's busy. And then she don't really want to listen to me. So you know what? What the daughter's doing is crying out, and the mother's not hearing it. So a daughter's cry is a key element. It can be a silent bullet that can kill her spirit. And that spirit starts from not the spirit of God, but the spirit of her esteem, her energy, her belief, believing that she can achieve, believing that she's okay, and believing that she doesn't have to measure up to other people, that she's good just the way she is, and that God created her with a destiny that's like none other. The spirit of growth and development. And sometimes, Mother, we miss that. So what I'm saying today is that I want you to just listen a little. And people say, listen closer. No, listen harder. Listen harder. Just shut down everything and just listen. Just listen. And you'll hear something. Close your eyes. Sometimes you have to close your eyes because of the elements that's surrounding you. You can't actually see and hear and obtain the full meaning of what's being translated to you. So close your eyes and just listen. And the best thing you can do is ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. Because out of all the efforts that we have, sometimes we still miss it. We will miss those key elements. So what we do, we said, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me what I'm missing. Help me to understand what she's trying to say to me. Because keep in mind, we are human too. We are a spirit living in a human body, but the interaction of among other humans, we see the body. We can't see the spirit. We see the body. And everything is judged, formulated, all thoughts from what we see. Not a lot of times from what we hear. Because what? We can't hear because we're so busy looking at what we see. And when you're seeing something, your intra conversations are going to start talking. Look at her. What in the world? What kind of dress is that? Oh, don't she know she's too big to put on that? What made her color her hair like that? And that lipstick. Now, you're in church now. And you're seeing, and your inter-conversation is speaking to you, and you don't realize you're talking negative. And then you don't hear the word of God. So many people go to church and they just walk in and they sit, but they want everybody to see them because, see, now I got my check mark from human being. I got a check mark from God that I was here. Walk out the door. What was the sermon about? Let me see. I think he was talking about, but if you ask how was Miss Jones today? Girl, Miss Jones came in there. She had on a red dress and a purple hat and some orange shoes. And I'm telling you, Miss Jones looked a hot mess today. And a green pocketbook. So you remember all of that because that's what you saw. That's what your inter-conversations tuned in on. And it'll keep talking to you while you in church, but you're not hearing. So when you close your eyes, that's why a lot of times when I go to church, I'll close my eyes because sometimes I get so distracted with one thing. It could be something on the stage. And it seems like your eyes just keep going to that one thing. You know, that's the enemy. Just going to that one thing to distract you. And you miss what God is trying to say to you. But if you close your eyes and take out all the visuals, your hearing seems to peak up. And you will hear things that you normally would miss if you had your eyes open. Because if your eyes are open and somebody get up to walk out the church, you're going to follow that person out the seat all the way down to the aisle and all the way turning, and then you come back to the message. Well, you don't even know. It's like driving in your car when you pass 10 streets and not even realize that you passed 10 streets. My goodness, how did I get here? Why? Because you don't even know what you missed. Just by turning, the enemy just distracts you enough that you turn and watching the person walk out, actually looking them up and down, judging, because that's a human nature. And you're missing the word. And you come back, you're trying to center and catch back up with what you say, but you miss the key point, the bottleneck of the message. So the rest of it is fluff. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's the same thing with your daughter. You're looking at her. You're watching the things that she does. You see that she's on the phone. And sometimes you're having these intercoms. That girl stays on the phone. Every time I turn around, she's talking to somebody. Either that or she's on Facebook. Or you see all these things. But you don't hear what she's saying. What are the words coming out of her mouth? What is it that she's not saying verbally, but crying out spiritually? Our daughters cry for help. And that brings me back to hashtag me too. Those are cries. Those are daughters crying out. They're crying out to their mothers. But just imagine, and I take my hat off to the ones that says hashtag me too, because that's a moment of release. It was a moment to say, wow, I can tell somebody. But once you do that, now what? What's the healing behind it? What's the healing process? Because now you're in worse condition. You've hashtag me too. But there's got to be a healing process. Otherwise, you've opened up a wound that could be open. Now everybody can see the wound, and you may feel even worse. Oh, my God, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I should have kept my mouth closed. Can you imagine how many women think that now? I should have kept my mouth, because they don't know what to do with the next step. Mothers, that's a great point. That's a great place for you to jump in. Baby, I didn't know that you were going through that. But now that I know, we're going to go through some healing processes. And I'm going to walk through it with you. The greatest healing in the world. You can go to a psychologist. You can go to a psychiatrist. You can go to any counselor you want to go to. But nothing can help you heal quicker, firmer than a mother that knows the word of God, or a mother that's just saying, you know what, I'm with you because I love you, because God sent you through me. I'm standing with you, and let's heal together. Because it's okay to know that you're not a perfect mother, because there's no perfect mother, no perfect daughter, but let's heal together. She's still your baby. She's crying out. You're the only one that can help heal that. Just like you nurture her when she was a little girl, when she come running and crying, and you say, what's wrong? I scratched my knee. I scratched my knee. And you stop everything. You see a little blood on it, and you stop everything. You run, and you get something, and some alcohol or whatever it is, an antiseptic, and you clean it up, and you look at it, and put a band-aid on it, and you kiss it, and you say, how's it feel now? Okay. You know, that's a healing. It wasn't so much of things that you've done, except for the fact that you kissed it. You stopped and you took care of it, and you hugged her, and you told her, it's okay. It's going to heal, and it's going to be fine. Mommy's here. That was the medicine. That was the love dosage that she needed. Well, you can't stop giving that love dosage. Every stage of her life, the dosage has to increase. At 3, she may have gotten a little drops. At 7, she may have gotten a half a teaspoon. At 12, she needed a teaspoon. At 16, she needed 3 teaspoons. See, you have to decide how to dispense the medicine, mother. And you can only do that if you're listening to a daughter's cry. So I'm going to go to the switchboard. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, I'm here.
Deborah, I'm going to have you live. All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about a daughter's cry for help. And the Lord just placed it on my heart that so many, and when I say daughter, I'm talking about women, are crying. Some cannot, you know, I'm a politician. I am an educator. I am all of this in my community. And so I have a standard that I have to live up to because people are looking at me. But yet when they go home, they are crying because every daughter, every woman is a daughter. And every daughter has a cry. So what do you think? Hello?
Deborah, I'm going to give you the floor first, and then I'll come in at the end.
Okay.
Well, you want me to put you on silence because I hear some noise behind you?
No.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay, so I just was, you know, sitting here thinking about you when you said that the mothers need to listen. And, you know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. And sometimes they could be so busy doing what they do that they are not listening. I heard you say what you say, but he's really not listening. He's not doing the active, attentive listening, you know, giving that eye contact and giving that information, now understanding between and rephrasing, paraphrasing it, asking for clarity and, you know, going back and forth. Because I was guilty of it just recently, maybe a little over a year. My mom said to me on one of my visits, we were sitting down on the couch and watching, I don't know what we was watching on TV. And she was talking, and I was trying to watch the TV, and she was talking, and she started talking, and she was talking. And I said, mm-hmm. And so she called me out on it, not then, shortly after. And she let me know that I was talking and you wasn't listening to me, you know. And so when you said that about the mothers, I said, well, we could just switch this thing around too, because I am guilty of not listening to my mom. And for many years, I wasn't there to hear her talk. For many, many, many years, I wasn't there to even, you know, to know that she had words to say. And so she said to me that I'd just be, you know, hearing you. You know, and I had a habit of doing it. And so when she brought it to my attention, I started to pray, Lord, help me be an effective, attentive listener. And especially going in the field I was going in then, maybe not that field, but I got to learn to listen. And my boss used to tell me all the time, she says, don't be so quick to answer. And then I was reading in the Bible, say, be slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
To listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hear what the people are saying. Listen, pay attention to the word. Pay attention to what people are saying, and so that you can respond effectively, because people are not just talking to be talking. Be heard. You know, you just make a noise,
yep,
and exhausting your energy, and you know, and you're getting locked jaw and all of that stuff, you know. And so I begin to tell myself, especially with my boss, because she teaches me a lot, and she's always teaching me. Every day I'm learning something. She tells me, now she says, repeat what I said, you know. I got to, you know what I mean? I got to play it back. I got to play it back. And so there's a thing with me that I'm trying to learn to be that listener, because I'm going into supervision. I'm going to have to learn and listen to what the employee's saying, and when they having, you know, situations, and not be so quick to sum it up and say, well, you know, you just don't want to work. You know what I mean? Or, you know, or I hear you, but I'm too busy. And I tell you, I'm really there with the listening now, and I'm really trying to practice it, and I'm trying to enhance that skill, because I realize it's so that much important for us to be able to listen to one another, not just the mother, daughter, but be able to listen to your neighbor when your neighbor come and have a concern and probably showing you signs that's not really signs, but telling you that, hey, I'm hurting inside and I need to have a conversation. My best friend betrayed me and slept with my boyfriend, or my boyfriend slept with my sister. Or, I'm hurting right now, Mom. I can't to them right now. The ones that I'm always on the phone with, I'm hurting now. So there's going to be a time where the child's going to go out the house for conversation. There's going to be time when she's going to run back in the house because out the house done hurt her. And
right.
So, you know, we got to be sensitive to listening to what other people say, especially our daughters, because we want them not to follow some of the errors we follow. You know, for me, I don't have anybody that's going to follow mine because I don't have any kids, but I have nieces and I have, people that, you know, they look up to me that I can still teach, you know. So I'm learning myself to be an effective listener, and I believe sometimes I do be too busy, and in my busyness, I had a tendency to just nod you off or say, I hear you, and I heard you, but I wasn't really listening. And I know I'm the only one that's probably struggling with learning to listen, because for so long I was always moving fast. Always moving. I didn't have time to slow down. I mean, literally moving. You see me now, still going out the gate. They see me in the morning. They see me come in. I'm going to work. And then on the job, they see me like run around like that cat in the house on the commercial, back and forth. But I'm working in some fast pace. I just, when they come in, they want to talk to me. I say, nah, I'm in the middle of something, You know, well, I need to come back. They come, not right now. Oh, okay. And then they come and they say, can I? Then I say, you know, I ran them away twice. They came back. You need to listen. And so I have to tell myself, slow it down, bring them in, let them sit down. Don't be typing on the computer. Don't be on the phone. Give them that eye-to-eye contact and listen attentively to what they're saying. And don't be so quick to respond. Let them have the whole complete sentence. Let them finish it. And so this process that I believe that if one could acquire that tool, it would be very, very much a valuable tool for any relationship. Like I say, daughters want to be heard because they, at that point, some of them young, and we emotional creatures, women, and we had a tendency to get worked up about stuff, and if we don't let it out, it's going to depression and suicidal thoughts, and I'm unworthy, no self-esteem, and you know, so I believe that mothers can, even if they don't know how, it's not too late to learn. You know, I just Googled it as you were speaking, and I was just learning some, you know, some different tools of being an effective listener, you know, learning how to listen. And so I'm there now with my mom, and I'm practicing on her, and I'm practicing on some of the people on the job. And then sometimes I tell myself, they're so needy, Deborah. It's a ministry. People are needy. You know what I mean? It's a ministry. To let me be slow to speak and quick to listen. And it's working, and I'm learning a lot. In class, I ask a lot of questions, but I listen, and I let the professor do the explanation and the lecture, and then my hand is up like Jack in the Box. Hey, question. Hey, another question. You know, I want to learn, but I got to listen first.
Uh-huh.
That's my take on it. And I believe that we all, it, like me being a daughter, what my mom said, I was listening, and, you know, she called me out on it, and I sure was guilty of doing it, and I have came a long way since that conversation we had about a year ago, and my boss works on me, and so I got two people that demands that you know, not forcefully, but that I give my ear potentially.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go pull that Bible verse up, because you're right. You just reminded me we are ministry, and we have to work according to the Word of God, and that is a needed one in our ministry. When we are meeting, we have the tendency to not let a person finish what they're saying. Want to quick to jump to explain and not even know, really don't know what the person is going to complete the sentence to say. The person could be saying one thing and said, you know what, I'm going to go to the left and go around the mountain. And you think they said, I'm going, and you just jump right in and ain't even heard the rest. So that is something that I realized here lately, and because we're growing and people are going to be added to the table. And if we don't set the precedence of listening properly, then we won't be able to grow. And God won't allow you to grow until you get it together. So that's, you brought something back to my attention this morning. Because when I say, if it's in the Bible and God said, that's what I want to do. And so I'm gonna put that Bible scripture as a lead for this ministry, because a lot of times we miss it, and that's a good way for the devil to get in and start something. You know what I mean? He uses that not listening skill to get people confused or upset because you're not listening to what I'm saying. And then once that energy come in, then everybody shuts down and nobody ain't listening. And I've experienced that. And so that in itself, you know, this is what I tell them, Deborah, the audience. And audience, you know, those of you who have been following us for years, I tell them, I'm the student. And I'm being taught the lesson. And I get to share it with you. So that was a great reminder. As you were speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Are you listening? Are you listening? Yes, Holy Spirit, I was listening. And Holy Spirit, I heard. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to become a doer of that word. So
that's,
thank you,
James,
Deborah, for that.
It's in James 1, verse 19.
James 1, 19.
Verse 19.
Okay. Verse 19. Yeah, that's going to be something, because it's the little things he said confine the wise. James, I'm writing it down, 1, verse 19. Okay, that's going to be the head of the topic for any meetings that we have, because when you're growing and you got people there, and then the other thing, what the Lord showed me while he was talking, he said, the next time you have a meeting, get duct tape and put tape on everybody's mouth. And I was like, whoa. I saw the tape. Put the tape on everybody's mouth. So nobody can't talk. You got to take that tape off. You know what I mean? So I would be the first one to put the tape in my mouth. You know how you're flying and they said, you know, you got a child with you or somebody elderly, you know, if you need the bag, you know, you put it over their face first and then yours. I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to put it on my mouth first and then theirs. And guarantee you can't talk until you can take that off. God has a way to get us trained and raise us up now. And you took it from a daughter's cry to not only a daughter's cry, a co-worker's cry, a neighbor's cry, a friend's cry. See, that's what I like about this program. And that's what I like about the people that God sent to sit at this table on Saturday morning. Because he will send a different perspective He sent mother and daughter through me. He sent friends, family, co-workers, you know, people on the street through you this morning to give a different perspective, because people need to hear it different ways in order to get it. And even I got something from your perspective of a daughter's cry. Cynthia, you have something you want to add?
Yes. Even in Proverbs 3:27, it talks about, instructs us to help others whenever we are able. And we cannot help. And that was very well in my training. It was pointed out that you cannot help someone if you cannot hear someone, listen to someone. And one of the reasons I chose not to do therapy, because you can hurt someone if you're not, if you don't have that trained ear to listen, because you will miss something. Because I talk more than I listen. And so when we are in the habit of just being present, but not being there for the purpose of listening, you've got to know your gifts, guys. You've got to know your gifts. And you, and as a mother, you have to get to the habit of knowing when we have to listen. And my son, Keith, he and I, we go back and forth. But he is constantly telling me, Mom, I need you to listen. And he knows when I'm not listening, because he will say, Mom, you know what? We will come back to this, because you're not listening to me. And so it's a trained thing. You have to train yourself to listen. And it's all about focus. You got to be focused when you're in the presence of people, telling people to come back, because they may not have a chance to come back. And that's Proverbs 3:27. It teaches us to be present when someone is crying out. And people may not be crying out with words, but when you see or that you can sense that something is wrong, it's the time to just stop everything that you're doing and become present with your listening ear. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, it's just, I think the Lord is really teaching us this morning, because he started talking to me. Something is going to be coming up that the listening skills is going to be prevalent to whatever that is, that meeting, that conversation, because we have missed something. And to be doers of the word, he'll remind you. And I think that to me, and I'm just speaking for myself, I think he's just reminding me of something. We've heard it before, and we can hear things, but he said, wisdom is one thing. But when you get wisdom, get understanding. And today, it took me to another level, a deeper level of understanding, because of something that he has in the future. Bessie, you need to get this. So he said, in the spirit here, this is supposed to be the front runner for the meetings, and I'll get that. Now, I got on this morning thinking, really didn't know what all the Holy Spirit was going to talk about, because, like I said, I didn't get anything until about 7 minutes to, and I'm just like, okay, what's the title? What's the title? Sometimes I'm like, okay, what's the title? You know, put something. What is it? And a daughter's cry. As I put a daughter's cry, and he came and said, no, a daughter's cry for what? A daughter's cry for help. I said, okay, all right. And then turn this thing around to listening. It's all about listening, mothers. Can you imagine if we listen a little more, how it would change the energy of the family members and the children. All right. Anybody else got anything else to say? Deborah, you got something else you want to say?
No, I think I've said it. I'm learning to listen. let me just say this, then I will say this. I started on the legal service board. I went for two meetings, and at another meeting I'd be going to some community Alpala community action, and I never say anything. I just listen, and I tell you, I'd be sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm going to say something about that," and then it's like, just listen. You don't have to say anything. Don't feel pressured that because you're on the board that you got to say something every time something comes across the table or what. You just listen. Just absorb. Just listen. And when I prompt you to say something, you say it. You say it and be done with it. You know, and so I'm just listening. I've been there twice. I haven't said a word, but thank you and praise the Lord or whatever. You know, nice to see you. You know, that's about it. I'm just learning to listen because I know that God got something for me to add to the table, and I'm just waiting on his timing because I don't want to be so excited that every time, you know, somebody, you got something to say, just be saying something just like because you sit with a bunch of lawyers and you know what I mean? Like you got to feel pressure to try to be on their level. No. Just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen. Learning that. Sitting on these boards, I'm learning. I'm saying, God, when you want me to say something, you give me that. Give me that. Yeah, that strong unction, like, you know, I want to know that it's you because I want to be profound in the Lord. Not in my whatever my intellect, the little bit I got, the centimeter or two I got. No, I want to be profound in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to listen. I'm practicing. I try to practice it everywhere I go. I go to these meetings. I just listen. For years, they didn't hear me talk. I just listen. And when I open my mouth, you can talk. I'm just listening. Oh, I can talk. You know I can talk. But anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that topic, God. I thank you. I praise you. Lord got a way of twisting it and doing it. He knows what he's doing. He knows. And I thank you for being able to. Love you, Cynthia.
Cynthia?
I'm going to leave us with this. Lord, all that we have is from you. Help us to always use what you're giving us to help others. And he's given all of us to listen.
He's given all of us what now?
Two ears to listen.
Oh, okay.
One mouth and two ears. That means we're supposed to listen, supposed to run
more
our mouth.
Cool. And then we get that, we can beat the enemy. So we can hear him coming. We can hear him coming. If you're talking, you're gonna miss him when he's gonna be doing something you won't even hear him. He'll be done put something into your subconscious mind that you don't even recognize because he's running your mouth. So anyway, I got it, charged to keep, and I just pray and ask God to give me the strength to shut my mouth when I'm supposed to shut it. You know, sometimes I just, you know, where I come to your audience and tell you the truth, then I'll be like, oh, no, wait a minute, hold on, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you just, like, you got to get, you just can't wait, like a little kid, just can't wait. And really, it is so disrespectful. It is so disrespectful that we can be professional women and Christian women, but yet be so disrespectful when it comes to time to speak. Intelligent now, but don't know when to give the courtesy and the dignity of another person. Like Deborah's saying, they're not just saying words, they're conveying an idea, a thought. But the disrespect of not allowing a person to complete a sentence, I pray that God and the Holy Spirit will watch over my mouth, but I never do that again. I release that in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father, that you keep that spirit as far away from me as the east is from the west. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, we got a mandate, and the mandate is, now that we know, we got to do better. Amen. Ladies, a great show. You just never know how this show is going to turn around. I'm telling you, you just never know. But it's always right. I thank you guys for sharing this morning. I hope many, many, many people listen to this show today. It's a humbling experience. It's a humbling experience. Have a great weekend, and God bless you. Hold on 1 minute, and I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's our show. Ladies, you have a great week, great remaining weekend. God bless you. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.